Wow, so good to see all of you. You know, it's a long weekend. We have Monday and Tuesday off, but all of you are here today on site. So thank you so much for coming. If we haven't met already, my name is Nelson. It's been a while since I attend Sunday. But if you are not someone new, can you say, "Hi, Nelson"? So we break ice a little bit. Nice. Okay, if you are ready, can you turn to your neighbor and say, "I'm ready"? Okay, turn to another neighbor, say, "Okay, I will be blessed today." All right. So we're going to jump straight right in. We're still in this series. Actually, it's the last part of our series. We call it Prayer Is, where we look at a deep dive into how Jesus taught us how to pray. Okay. Can I invite all of us to stand on our feet as we pray or read Matthew 6, 9 to 13? And together, okay? So one, two, go. In this manner, therefore, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Father, Lord, we thank you for today. We want to surrender this time. Just come before you and want to understand your word better. And God, help us today, Lord, as we focus the last part, which is lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We ask that, Holy Spirit, you open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears as we receive your words. In Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen, amen. Amen. All right. If you are attending for the first time, second time, or you're visiting, probably you can go back and watch. The first week we had Pastor Eugene talked about our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Second week we have Pastor Teresa, she shared about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then a third week, Pastor Neil talked about forgiveness, forgive us our debts, forgive our debtors. And last week we have Terrence talked about give us this day our daily bread. You know, there was this story, you know, a girl was sitting at the back of in a car and then was like calling mom. "Mom, mom, I finally know what is God's name." And then mom said, "Yeah, what?" And then she said, "Howard." And then mom was like, "Where do you find it from?" And then she was like, "From the Bible." And then mom was like, "What Bible are you reading?" And then she said, "The Bible, Bible. Yeah, show me." Then she said, "From the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, Howard be your name." Obviously, mom said, "No, that's not his name. That's hallowed. Okay, it means reverence." And then she starts to learn about the Lord's Prayer. So I think this series is really, I enjoyed it so much because this is almost like a template where Jesus teaches how to pray. If you are someone new, like when I was just new, came to Christ, I was actually, the first thing that I want to remember is actually I want to memorize how to pray the Lord's Prayer. Because when we don't know how to pray, we can actually go to this part, okay? So today, we want to tackle prayer is relying on God for holiness. It's never by our own strength, but we need to partner with God. We need to rely on God for holiness. When we read, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This phrase from the Lord's Prayer is actually a plea for God's guidance and strength to avoid sin and evil. So it acknowledges our human weakness, where we are weak, and we're asking God that not to lead us, the believers, into circumstances where we might be tested beyond our ability to win. And the second part, where it says deliver us, in another translation, it actually means rescue us. So that when we do face temptation or evil influences, we ask God to rescue us from that kind of situation. But we also need to recognize that from 1 John 2:3, we know that it's actually God is not the tempter. He's not the author of temptation, okay? So actually, God does not tempt us. Let me read to you guys. I didn't put it on here. So it says, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does himself be tempted anyone. So God does not tempt us. It's actually the devil who tempts us. And in Greek word, temptation means parasmon, testing. And I want to expound a little bit. So in Greek word, usually one Greek word has multiple meanings, okay? Over here, it means testing. When Jesus asks us to pray this prayer, it asks us to help us, Lord, in the times of our testing, equivalent to trials. It's not the other one where temptation enticing us to sin, okay? So in another one, I give you an example. In James, James 1, 2, 3, in English, okay, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So this word trials is actually the same Greek word, parasmon. It's trial. But on verse 12, it says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. So this word temptation in Greek is the same word, parasmon. Okay, you guys follow me? Parasmon. Then the second one, evil, poneru, literally means the evil one. We are asking God, help us, Lord. Rescue us from the evil ones. It's as if saying, God, we are praying, help us to fight and escape temptation because of our limitation. And again, rescue us. I give you an example. So my daughter is 2 years and 3 months old, okay? So she's at her age where she starts to know what is candy and what is sweet stuff. So she loves to drink Vitagen, you know, yogurt. So every time when we go on a grocery shopping, if it's close to dinner time, I would usually want to help her to avoid the fridge aisle and also the counter bar when you pay, you see a lot of candies. Because what she will say is, she will say, Papa, I want candy. Papa, I want yogurt. Papa, I want Vitagen. Immediately she knows, Papa, this is Vitagen's fridge. I want Vitagen. So when we pray to God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's as if we are asking God, God, help us not to go to that aisle today where the temptation is so strong that I cannot resist, that I need to fight against. God, I know that you put us here, but God, help me today because I cannot fight this alone. Rescue me. I don't like to talk a lot about the devil, the evil side, because I love to talk more about the solution, which is how Christ can actually help us and save us. In fact, in Victory Weekend, a lot of times I learned from Pastor Eugene, we don't want to let devil has their time, you know, even to manifest. They just don't deserve it. But today, my goal is, I want to point out three categories where how devils actually use their tactics to cause us to sin and the three types of temptation that they will do. Then I will end with three different ways that we can actually fight against temptation, okay? Because I know that if we don't know who we're fighting against, we are almost like we are swinging everything in the dark and we are fighting things that we don't know, okay? So as we read, lead us not into temptation, it's from the Lord's Prayer is from Matthew 6, is in the middle of Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew 5 to 7. If you have time, you can go back and read. We're going to look at a part of scripture today is from Matthew 4, okay? There are a lot of different characters throughout the Bible that you can see temptation comes, Samson, Genesis, Adam and Eve. But today we're going to look at how the devil tempts Jesus, okay? So follow me, I'm gonna read. Matthew 4, temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Second time, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. This is quoting from scripture, Psalms 91, okay? And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And then Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. Devil is persistent. Just want you guys to know. You see, again, third time. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The last one is my favorite. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So when we read just now, when Jesus fasted 40 days, 40 nights, he was alone. And then it says the devil came. He was led by the Spirit. I just want to put it straight. God allows and the testing to happen. And in this verse, tempted, when we read Matthew 4 just now, it literally means temptation, when we see scripture direct. But we have to see, when devil came and tempted him, who is the devil? In the Bible, devil, New Testament, Greek word, it means diabolos. I don't know if any of you guys have seen this game before in PS5, diabolos. I don't play that game. Okay. So it means he is a slanderer. He is a false accuser, chief of false accuser, which means his primary language is deception. If you watch Transformer, he's literally the Decepticon, right? Whatever he's trying to do, he's trying to make you to go against God, to be far away from God, to deviate your life from God. He tries to oppose you. He's trying to tempt you into sin. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Peter warns us. You know, I was just watching National Geography. I watch a lot of National Geography with my daughter. She likes animals. So when you see how lion prowls around, hunt for its prey, do you know? Usually lion don't hunt its prey when they are in a pack or in a big community. Lion hunts its prey when they are alone. So what they are trying to do is they are strategists. Usually they will send two on the flanks, one left, one right, and then they will make them run until they identify one who is the weakest, smallest, youngest, whatever you call it, and try to isolate them. When they are being isolated, they won't attack immediately. They will start to wear him out. They will continue to run until that little prey starts to wander in their mind. I'm tired now. I'm hungry. I will never be able to be set free. I will always be here, stuck. And then suddenly, they are away from their community. And then the middle one will go and hunt them and eat them. Devour. Devour means consume. Okay? Devour its prey. I've been in the working adult world for quite some time. So this is pretty common to me where I heard before. I don't need to be in a serving ministry. I just want to come to church and, you know, have my time with God. I don't need to make church a habit. Sometimes I can just, you know, watch online. I don't need to be in the prayer ministry. I can pray by myself. You know, Jesus taught us to pray in our secret closet. I don't need a community for me. I have my personal relationship with God. You see what happens is, if the devil can isolate you, the devil can put thoughts in your mind. When you are isolated, you start to think that you are good by yourself. You start to buff up, and you start to think that all my life is all good. I don't need community. I don't need all this. And when things start to fall, that's where words start to pour in into your mind. And words like, you are not as good as you thought you are. Words like, you are worthless, you are useless. Even the devil could tempt Jesus to jump. You know, in Malaysia, we have news like that just a couple weeks ago. Students jumping off from their condo. That's the words that the devil plants in your mind. The problem is not the temptation. The problem is the choice that we make when devils come and tempt us. And the problem is when words come to our mind, we start to think that these words are our words. And we start to think that I'm really worthless. The problem, really problem is, I know I say a lot of problems. The problem is we just don't know how to discern what is truth and what is lie. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the tempter came to Jesus. It says here, Jesus is alone, he's isolated, he's weary, hungry, hangry maybe. Here's what I want to point out and hope that all of us can see. Temptation usually comes when we are alone, isolated, tired, hungry. Okay? Now, I'm going to categorize, according to the Bible, the three common temptations that we will face as a Christian. Okay? I'm not saying that these are the only temptations that we will face, but we're going to go through quickly. Then I'm going to talk about the solution. Okay? 1 John 2:16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So we have lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. When we see temptation of Jesus, tempter came, the first one, actually the very first thing that the tempter did was actually to challenge his identity, because he says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." That's lust of the flesh. Why the tempter came and challenged the identity of Jesus? Do you find it interesting? Because just a few verses before, in Matthew 3, if you read it again, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and we see that a very phenomenal incident where we have three persons in one scene, where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Father, in the last verse, it says, "This is my Son, to whom I'm well pleased." But the next very first, after 40 days, 40 nights, the next thing that the tempter, first thing come and tempt him was challenging his identity. Do you guys see? The devil usually challenges us to make us to feel, hey, am I a son of God? Am I really who God says I am? So if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. That's lust of the flesh. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are," second time, "the Son of God," challenging his identity again, "throw yourself down, for it is written." Now he's trying to attack his, you know, he's trying to see whether Jesus has ego. "You really is Son of God? Throw yourself down. Then you see your Father save you or not." Because he's quoting Psalms 91. "He will command his angels concerning you, and they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." It's pride of life. Then the third one, again, devil took him on a very high mountain, show him all the kingdoms and the glory, and say, "If you will just fall down and worship me, I will give you everything of this that you see." That's lust of the flesh. You can go back and compare and do some, you know, Bible study, look at different characters, Genesis, Samson, whatever it is, David, you can compare whether this fits into it or not. But today, what we identify is lust of the flesh, lust of the pride of life, and lust of the eyes. Now, how then shall we fight back? So I've categorized it to three. We can talk a lot more, actually, but today we're just going to look at three of them. The first one, which I think first and second is very powerful and very important, Word of God. Then second one, prayer. And third one, apply wisdom. So the first thing that we see how Jesus fight back, you know, reply where the tempter came. And he said the first thing, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's from Deuteronomy 8:3. And the second time, Jesus, very persistent again, and said, you quote me Psalms 91, I quote you Deuteronomy 6:16. It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the third one, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Deuteronomy 6:13. So when we want to be in the Word, we are asking God, God, my Lord, would you help me to understand, meditate, and store up your Word in my heart? Because from Psalms 119:11, it says, I have stored up your Word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. A lot of us, I know, struggle because to read the Word every single day is a challenge. How many of you agree with me? How many of you know what I'm saying? The Word of God, sometimes we don't understand because there's just so many words and sometimes we don't even understand the English word that it says inside. And you want us to go in depth and sometimes our schedule is so packed, it's so difficult. But the Bible says clearly in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The Word of God is our weapon. You don't see a soldier goes to a war only to learn about how to operate his weapon. A soldier trains every single day, every single week, every single month, until it led up to the day of war. He sleeps with his rifle. He plays with his rifle. He wipes his rifle. He knows everything about his rifle so that when temptation comes, we know what word to fight against. Amen? Okay, number two, prayer. We need to ask God, Lord, help me to have a prayerful life. In Matthew 26, verse 36 and 40 to 41, we read, then Jesus went with them. This is when Jesus was in distress, okay? He went to Gethsemane. So they go to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciple, sit here while I go over there and pray. So he was in distress, and his first reaction is, I'll go over there and pray. And he said to his disciple in verse 40, found them was sleeping. I find that very relevant to myself. Sometimes I find it hard because at night I want to sleep. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we go one day without prayer, it is as if we are telling God, today I don't need you in my life. When we go one moment without prayer, it is as if we are telling God, God, at this moment, I don't need you in my life. In fact, when temptation comes, I don't know what your temptation is. It could be anything. It could be lust. It could be alcohol. It could be addiction of shopping. I don't know, whatever it is that you are being drawn away from God. Okay? But when temptation comes, it's all the more that we should pray. And we ask God, God, it's just too big for me. I cannot fight this alone. I need your help. I need you to help me to find a way out. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that it is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God will provide you a way of escape. Okay? Just 4 days ago, I was playing badminton. So I love badminton also. I thought I myself is good at until I play with Joash. No, I didn't play with him for a while. So I was playing badminton a few days ago. There was a boy, you know, about 7, 8 years old in training. The coach was, you know, I don't know, some state player or whatever. He's quite good. He looks good and everything good. He had a lot of shuttlecocks over his hand and he was keep hitting shots, training the player. So he was hitting front, back, left, right, you know, all the ages. As he hit, And the boy was like, keep running, keep running, keep running, keep running, very tired. But the boy only could catch like one, he can, then the next one he missed, then the next one he could catch, then the next one he missed. He was so tired. And he was like, there was one shot, I saw him. But the coach was like, keep going, keep going. So he was like so tired. So you have to catch, still cannot catch, you know? When we fight against temptation, God, today, my work is tiring. I cannot read. Yes, but I have to keep going. I read, I'll be in prayer, I'll be rooted in God. And when temptation comes, when in tournament, the enemy smashed him, it's not the training anymore. It's his muscle memory. Because through prayer and in the prayer and in God's word, he knows when enemy says, you are worthless. No, I'm a child of God. No, you have anxiety. No, I have peace that surpasses all understandings that in Christ Jesus. Oh, you will always be lacking. Your career will never be free. No, God will provide me surplus because God says he will give me all that he needs, and he never seen the righteous man forsaken. And Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No, you tempt me to jump off? No, the Lord has laid me down on the green pastures and he has a table prepared for me. I know all his words. And I am in prayer. I have a connection with God. I know what he's talking about. The devil cannot tempt me. Now, after word and prayer, what else do we need? We need to apply wisdom. Wisdom from the Lord. The Bible says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to pray, God, can you help me today? Give me wisdom to fight against temptation. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. When we want to apply wisdom that comes from God, it's almost like we have to partner with God. Remember, we rely on God. We partner with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what is it that I'm prone to being tempted? If it's lust, for example, where everyone can relate easily, help me, Lord. What time that I'm always fall? And is it my phone? Is it Netflix? Help me, Lord, to say no to going out with, you know, another girl, just one-on-one, even just a catch-up. Help me identify, Lord, what is it? When we talk about trials, where Jesus taught us how to pray, lead me not into temptation, trials, rescue us from the evil one. You guys know that as a Christians, we will sometimes go through a cycle where I would call it happy, sad cycle. You guys know what I'm talking about? Yes? Okay. I give you an example. So just as today, for example, this month, I've been doing well. I come to church, I pray, I read my Bible at home, I attend life group, do everything that I thought is good in the eyes of God. And then suddenly next month, I fall. For example, lust, okay? I fall. And then suddenly, that few days, I felt guilt and shame. And just for this week, I need to take a pause from coming to church. And your life group leader asks, where are you and all that. And next week, you find your courage, you repent, and you say, God, I'm sorry, I come back. You share your testimony in life group. And then, yay, everyone celebrate. I'm free from this lust for 2 weeks. And then, just as you thought everything was going well, next 2 months, 2 months later, you fall again. And this time, it's even harder than the one before. And then you start to think, man, I will never forever be able to attain God's level of holiness. It's just too high. God's standard is too high. We will never be free. We will always be bound by sin. I've been a Christian for how many years? I just know it. It's not something we can do. You even tell your testimonies, like you tell people you cannot do it. And then words starts to come to your mind. At a point where if you are taking a leadership role, like you're a life group leader, for example, you felt more ashamed because you felt like you're a hypocrite. At the front, you're talking about Christ, but at the back, when nobody sees, you are sinning. And then worse still, you've seen people where they will start to have thoughts in their mind. Am I still safe? Is my salvation in danger? Because yes, I come to church, I profess as a Christian, but at the back, I'm still sinning. You start to doubt your salvation. You start to have all these words, and then you slowly but slowly, gradually, you're getting far away from God. Church, I just want to point it out. That's what the devil, the enemies try to do to us. Your salvation does not depend on what you do for God. Your salvation does not depend on you coming to church, you going to life group, you going to prayer meet, you doing devotion. You do all that is because you want to have a relationship with God. But your salvation depends on what God has already done for you on the cross. The problem is, we, after doing all this, we got to partner with God and ask Holy Spirit, give us wisdom to subject our flesh. What is it that we are prone to fall? Just like just now I was saying, is it 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., for example? Is it my phone right beside of my table? If you are addicted to alcohol, if you know that that's something that you are always being tempted, don't be a friend with a bunch of friends that always go out and drink. I'm just going to be bold a little bit. If I ask all of us to pull up our phone right now and you look at your social media feed, I'm not talking about the main feed. I'm talking about the one that is recommending you or even the videos. The devil is so powerful. It won't show things that you're not supposed to see during the day. It will usually show you at night. They know what time you love to watch. What are your social media feeding you is what the devil wants to feed you at the moment. We don't wake up today telling ourselves immediately, I want to sin. We are being tempted every single day, Monday to Friday. Whatever that is feeding our mind, that's what led us to whatever that we will commit sin ultimately. So what you feed grows. We have to substitute with the word of God and prayer. What we starve dies. In James 14, it says, but each one is tempted because when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And James 4, where a few chapters later, he says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The thing about the devil, I've talked a lot about the devil today, but this is one last thought that I want to put to you. Now I'll share a bit of story, and then we close. The thing about the devil is, you know how a burglar go to a house and steal? If your house, you are not being careful, Christians, if your house, you're not being careful, you have open doors, the burglars will come and steal. But if you resist them, you lock everything, not just the door, but the windows, okay? Every single thing. You know what they will do? They won't waste time on you. They will leave and seek for another one. Just because we didn't talk a lot about the devil doesn't mean he will not come for you. He is a bully, and the bully will always come. And it does not just happen to, for example, lust, right? It doesn't happen just to unmarried people. It happens to married people. It happens to all kind of age of people in our lives. That we have to guard our heart. We have to know what the Word of God says and be in prayer. just a few years ago, you know, 6-7 years ago, before coming to Christ. So I was in New Zealand for about 9 months, close to 1 year. Before leaving, I downloaded about close to 50 videos in my hard disk, pornography. I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed. In fact, my thought was I was gonna sell it to anyone over there because I know it's illegal over there. I've been consuming it for my, you know, close to half of my life, since I was teenagers to I was 20 plus years old. But when I come to Christ, I start to read His Word and be in prayer. There was one day, even after I come to Christ, I fall, I consume. But I started to feel like I don't enjoy it anymore. I deleted all my videos. But a week later, I fall again. I was just cutting off the branch, but I'm not healing the curing the roots. I need God to heal my roots. So I ask God, I cry out, I kneel down. Only God can do. I say, Holy Spirit, I don't enjoy it anymore. But you know, because of how I used to live for my past 10 plus years, it's so hard. Temptation comes, it's so real. And I ask God, God, I don't want just to cut off from my hard disk. I want it to cut off from my memory. Would you please delete all the names in my mind that I will usually search, and even the website names from my mind completely? I want to be set free. I partner with you. And show me, Lord, which app. Is it Netflix? I have unsubscribed Netflix. Because when no one sees, you know, all those movies that have sex scenes, it triggers me. Holy Spirit revealed to me. And I start to repent. And I've been free for the past 4 years. Glory to God. Can I invite all of us to stand on our feet? Just wanted all of us to meditate on this verse, Psalms 119, 9 to 16. As we meditate, as you read, as I read, we want to capture the way how Psalms 119 asks us to seek God for purity, for holiness. And I want to pray for all of us. Okay, let's go. 119, 9 to 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Church, you know, I'm going to just show you the one last one. I felt God wants to speak to us powerfully. When we honor God and resist temptation, this is the favorite part that I love. The devil left him, and behold, angels come and were ministering to him. If you today have felt that you want to come back to God and there's a burning desire in your heart and you want to honor God with all your bodies and all your souls and strengths, Can you just pray together with me? If I'm praying too fast, you just say amen, okay? God, I come before you. I repent. I grieve over sin. And Lord, help us, Lord, to feel your presence right now. Holy Spirit, we ask that you come and angels minister us. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know that, God, you are the kind of Father that we can come back to you like the prodigal sons. You wrap your arms around us. And when you see us, you will run towards us and embrace us. Father, I pray, I rebuke in the name of Jesus whatever the enemy is telling you guys that you cannot be set free. I rebuke the enemy lies that are telling you guys that you will always be bound by some secret sin, that you will always be oppressed. I pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that today we are free because Christ has won the victory. Today we are free. We are free from some secret bondage. We are no longer bound by some secret sin. We are no longer bound by demonic oppression. We pray in the name of Jesus, we are free. Thank you, Lord. And God, help us, Lord. Give us a new heart, a new desire to seek you. Give us a new heart. We subject the flesh and bend them to your will. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.